Welcome to this message from Eastwood Baptist Church, one church with two locations in Bowling Green and Alvaton, Kentucky. To learn more, visit eastwoodbc.org. Now, may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
Amen. Grab your seat, grab your copy of God's word, and go with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Today we're going to wrap up this sermon series that we've called Radical, the Hard Sayings of Jesus. As we've walked canonically through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And today we end the series with what perhaps would have been the very first hard saying if we weren't going through them biblically as they appear in the Bible in biblical order. You see, it's today's hard saying where Scripture actually records the people basically saying, "Dude, Jesus! That is a hard saying." Look at John 6:60. John 6:60 says, "When many of his disciples heard it, they said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?'" So today's hard saying, church, is the quintessential hard saying in Scripture. And where is this hard saying found exactly? Well, John 6:53 is where the hard saying is found. It says this: "So Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you.'" And so this is a hard saying. In fact, one time I was going to preach on this passage at my church in Tennessee, the church I was at before I came to Eastwood, and had as my title, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood." And one of my deacons was like, "You should change the title. That's a gross title." And I said, "That's right, it is. But you know what? If it sounds gross to us, it sounded even grosser to the Jews in the crowd of Jesus' day, right, who heard the words come out of Jesus' mouth." But let's look at the entirety of the context to help us see what Jesus is saying. I'm going to invite you to stand to honor the reading of the Word of God. We're going to begin there in the 51st verse, read down through the 59th. The Word of God says this. Jesus says, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, you will live forever," or "he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he will also live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. Let's pray together. Father, as we look at the text, help us, God, to understand it, because it is a hard text to understand and to put it in its right place and for us to rightly apply it. And so help us to do that today. God, I pray for the one here, or the two or 10 or 20, ever how many it is here, who has yet to repent and believe on Jesus. God, every breath they breathe is one more opportunity to do that. And I pray, God, that they would not run out of breath before they come to Christ. They need Christ more than the air they're breathing. And so, Father, for the one here who has yet to repent and trust in Jesus, I pray today would be the day they would see their sin, they would see Christ crucified for their sin, and they would run to Jesus to be saved. We pray this in the strong name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Go ahead and grab your seat there. Go ahead and grab your seat. So as we come to this text, the first thing that you and I need to understand is what this hard saying is not talking about, okay? It's important for us before, what's it mean to say what does it not mean, okay? And it does not mean two things. Two things I would point to you this morning. First, it's not talking about cannibalism, all right? Now, you might laugh and say, "Come on, Ben, we knew that." But that's what Jesus' audience thought he was talking about, didn't they? Right? When he says that, Jesus said in John 6:51, I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he'll live forever. And the bread that I'll give for the life of the world is what? Is my flesh. His hearers took him literally. Or maybe more precisely, they took Jesus literalistically. They said in John 6:52, the Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They didn't quite get what Jesus was saying, right? They missed the figurative nature of Jesus' provocative statement. Guys, all throughout this series, we've seen over and over where Jesus basically spoke to provoke, right? That's a good rhyming word. Preachers love rhyming words, right? He spoke to provoke. And provoke in this instance, he did, right? Because the crowd instantly, they assumed that Jesus was talking about cannibalism. And that sort of presumption, if you look back in church history, plagued Christianity for the first couple of centuries. It was J. David Castle, Dr. Castle, who taught theology at my alma mater, Hanover College. He once wrote an article for Christianity Today entitled, Defending the Cannibals. And here's the first sentence from that article. He wrote this. He said, Christians are cannibalistic, incestuous, donkey-worshipping magicians who practice dangerous superstitions, or at least that is what early critics thought. And man, you thought you were a misunderstood Christian, right? I mean, these guys had it bad. These Romans, they were sickened by Christians. They eat flesh. They drink blood. They gather early in the morning for these love feasts and call one another brother and sister. They say these magical incantations over bread and wine, like the Latin phrase, hoc est corpus meum, which means this is my body. In fact, the first word in that Latin phrase, hoc or hoc, maybe you pronounce it hoc, basically would eventually become adapted into the phrase hocus pocus. It came from a Christian saying, hoc est corpus meum, or hoc est corpus meum. Folks would essentially tell Christians, we don't want any of that hocus pocus around here. So with all this misunderstanding, I mean, you can imagine the first century church trying to promote their vacation Bible school, right? I mean, as they came, walking up to the door, honey, hide the kids, here come the Christians, don't let them near the kids. You know, thank God that these misconceptions have been cleared up. Jesus is not talking about cannibalism here. But second, as we come to this text, he's also not talking about sacramentalism either. He's not talking about sacramentalism either. Sacramentalism is the belief that a religious ceremony or a religious act or a religious object has the ability in and of itself to save you, and that it is necessary for your salvation, such as baptism or the Lord's Supper. The thing itself can save you, sacramentalists believe. Do this to be saved. And our Roman Catholic friends, they appeal to our text here today in John 6 as biblical support for the Lord's Supper being a means of receiving God's grace and for their doctrine of transubstantiation, where they teach that through the priest's blessing, the body and blood of Jesus literally become present in the bread and the wine of the Mass. So if you want to be saved and stay saved, you must eat and drink the Holy Communion over and over again, they say. But Jesus is not talking about sacramentalism here either, okay? In fact, sacramentalism is taught nowhere in the Bible and should be rejected. Every possibility you get. So since Jesus is not talking about cannibalism, praise God, and since Jesus is not talking about sacramentalism, again, double praise God, here's today's takeaway. What is Jesus talking about? And here it is, today's takeaway. Completely take Jesus into your life to have eternal life. Completely take Jesus into your life to have eternal life. Like your food that you take in becomes a part of you, giving you life. You take Jesus in, he becomes a part of you and wells up into eternal life. Do I have any fishermen or fisherwomen in the crowd tonight, or in the crowd today? Good. Raise your hand if you've ever been fishing with a floater or a bobber.
Come on. Okay, good. I'm amongst good people here, no doubt, right? If you're a fisherman, you got to be pretty cool. So when you first put on your fish tackle, you tie the hook to the end of the line, and then you, just a few inches above the hook, what do you put? A sinker. And what does the sinker do? It does exactly what its name says. It makes your hook sink down to the depth that you believe the fish are at. And then a foot or so, or two or three above your hook and sinker, on your line, you put your floater, all right? And it's supposed to let you know when you have a fish on the line. And so when it goes under the water, you've got a fish. And so you begin to reel that fish in. And when you finally get him up to the bank, sometimes you barely got him hooked. I mean, you just barely by the lip, right? You just pulled him in by just a little bit of that lip. But then other times, you got him good, man. You got him good. That fish was so excited to take your bait that when he hit, he swallowed the whole thing whole. You ever had to just cut the line? You couldn't get the hook out? Well, that's what we call swallowing the bait. Hook, line, and sinker. Hook, line, and sinker. Now, some people will use that phrase to be that someone was deceived, right? That they swallowed it, hook, line, and sinker. But today, guys, it doesn't just mean that. It also means that when somebody takes something completely in, to take something completely in. And so here Jesus, in essence, is saying that you and I are fish. He said that he would make the apostles fishers of men, right? If they were fishers, then we're fish. And so Christians today become somebody, or we're Christians today because somebody went fishing for us. And when we hit that bait, Jesus wants us to take it in, hook, line, and sinker. Completely take Jesus into your life to have eternal life. So that's what Jesus is getting at here in this hard saying. Now, if that's going to happen, then we need to consider the following three things. The first is this, is that you have to refuse to receive Jesus only halfway. You will not take Jesus halfway. It's all or nothing. There are so many people today, maybe so many people right here in this room, who are that way, right? You are receiving Jesus only halfway. Back to that fishing analogy for just a moment. You are nibbling at the bait. You're a little bite here and a little bite there, and the bobber is making ripples because you're messing with the bait, but you have yet to take that bobber under because you have yet to swallow what Jesus has put out there for you. You go to church, you hang around Christian people, you give mental assent to the teaching of Christianity. You may even take on some of the ethical teachings of Christianity, but you are not a Christian because you're just nibbling. You're just nibbling. You haven't completely taken Jesus into your life. You have yet to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You are, in essence, a fence sitter. And fence sitters cannot follow Jesus because they're sitting on the fence. To follow Jesus, you've got to get off the fence. You've got to get on his side. And so I encourage you, if this is you this morning, I encourage you to strongly, seriously look at Jesus' words in John 6, 53 and 54. Look at what Jesus says. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up on the last day." Beloved, nibbling won't cut it. You got to eat. You got to drink. It's time to take Jesus in completely. And so refuse to receive Jesus only halfway. He is all or nothing. Amen? He is all or nothing. Second, if you're going to completely take Jesus into your life, then you must feed on the spiritual nourishment of Jesus. Now, maybe you've already swallowed Jesus. You've already taken him in. You're already a follower of Jesus, but listen to me very carefully. To be a follower of Jesus is to continuously feed on his provision. All throughout John 6 here, Jesus is providing for the people, and he's pointing the people to his provision.
early in John 6 here, what did he do? He fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. It was literally a kid's meal. Man, what a miracle. Man, food for one turned into food for 5,000 plus. And they were pumped. Man, the people were ecstatic. Free bread! Come and get it, right? This all happened there on the shore of the Sea of Galilee on Lake, or what you would call Lake Tiberias. Other people call it that. And so Jesus jumped in a boat that evening after he finished that miracle and fed those 5,000. He jumped in a boat to get away from them and went across the lake. And so the next day, the crowd came looking for the magic bread man again. But he wasn't there. And eventually people spotted him on the other side of the lake, and word got around quickly, and they came to Jesus as quickly as they could. It must have looked like motorboats going across Lake Tiberias there, man. They were ready to get to Jesus. And they all got to Jesus and was like, "Where the bread at, Jesus?" They were ready, right? "Always give us this bread." And then Jesus, like Jesus always does, takes that physical thing and takes it to the next level. You're seeking bread, but it's bread that perishes. It's bread that will mold. It's bread that'll get stale. Seek bread that never perishes, Jesus said. Seek bread that endures to eternal life. And then Jesus drops the bomb on him. He says, "I, Jesus, am the bread of life." Look at verse 47 through 51. "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I'm the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he'll live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." So, beloved, feed on the spiritual nourishment of Jesus. Listen, we try to fill our lives and nourish our lives with so many other things. Not just bad things. Now, undoubtedly, if we were to stand and to confess here one to another, there would be some bad things that we're trying to stick in our lives. Some of it worse than others, of course. But it's not just bad things, right? I'm talking about good things too, because oftentimes good is the enemy of what, church? Great. Good is often the enemy of great. You can't get to the great because you're all tied up with the good, too full of the good. I mean, Chef Boyardee will get you by. But Jesus is offering you the best pasta from the best Italian grandmother's kitchen you can imagine. McDonald's cheeseburgers will get you by. But Jesus is offering filet mignon here, cooked perfectly with all that juice and flavor. It's beautiful, right? Jesus says here in John 6:55, he says, "For my flesh is true food." True food. So much of what we put into our lives is like junk food, right? Yeah, it's okay. We can live on it, but we won't live well. You know what I'm saying? Jesus is like a whole food shopper here, right? He's got all the good stuff right here, the stuff that will truly fill you up, truly satisfy you. All the things that my wife wants me to eat, it's here in Jesus, right? He says, "My flesh is true food and my blood is true drink." He says in John 6:58, he says, "He who eats this bread will live forever." You will eat and your soul will be satisfied. Some of you have walked in this morning and we sang those songs, amazing songs. I appreciate Pastor Will getting Phil to fill in for him today to lead us as while he's on vacation.
And you came in, man, and you sang those songs. You tried to sing those songs, but you couldn't fully sing those songs because you have deadened your appetite to Jesus this week. You've put other stuff in there. You're so distracted. You're so weary from other things, good things even, that you are not satisfied. You don't have an appetite for Jesus, and so your heart couldn't sing to the fullness, to the bottom of your heart. I encourage you, even this morning, repent. Ask God, God, forgive me for choosing the good over the great. And forgive me, God, for choosing even the slop over the highest cuisine possible, right? In Jesus Christ. And get back on that track and fill your life with Jesus. Sweet guys, it is a rich meal. Spiritually speaking, it is a costly meal. It cost Jesus his very life. And so if you're here this morning, deadened to the feast that is offered to Jesus, then it's time to wake up and come back to Christ. Completely take Jesus into your life. Finally, if you're going to completely take Jesus into your life, third, you must not, or in other words, don't be surprised when others walk away. Don't be surprised when others walk away. You've seen it happen, right? People who were following Jesus are no longer following Jesus. But I ask you this morning, are you a crowd follower or are you a Jesus follower? Some of you may be here this morning just following a crowd, right? That's what was happening here in our text. They were following the crowd and they wanted their bellies filled. And when the bread ran out and the crowd began to walk away, the 5,000 plus was reduced to Jesus and the 12. You know, as I was studying this text and praying over this text, it kind of jumped in my mind. You know, Jesus would have never have been invited to any of these national Christian conferences that all the big guys go to, right? I mean, listen, anybody, I mean, what would his talk be? Just imagine how to grow your church by negative 99.76%, right? Nobody would go to that plenary session. It would be empty. Jesus, though, he kept pushing until he pushed them past their limits. He kept cranking up the dial. Just picture an amp and that you just keep cranking up the dial. He says, you're hungry? I'll give you bread. Crank. You want bread? You need bread that doesn't perish. You need the bread of life. Crank. You want the bread of life? I'm the bread of life. Crank. You want the bread of life? My flesh is the bread of life. And at that point, he's cranked it to 10, which is the max on an amp, right? You can't go higher than 10. Only Spinal Tap can go higher than 10 on their amp, okay? And so here he is cranked all the way to 10, as high as it could go. And the folks were really beginning to protest. And then they threw out the charge of cannibalism there in verse 52. And you would think that Jesus would dial it down at that point, right? He would begin to retract a little bit. He would clarify, but he doesn't, church. He cranks it to 11 here. This is so different from modern evangelicalism, isn't it? Isn't it? That's why church is so weak. I mentioned this last week, but we are so prone to want to soft pedal because we want the crowds. We want to be popular. We want to have influence. We don't want to repulse anybody by the truth. And so we try to say it without saying it the way Jesus would say it. But that's not Jesus. He cranks it to 11. Yeah, you don't only need to eat my flesh, but you also need to drink my blood, he said. And you have to understand that not only was cannibalism as an assumption gross, but blood itself to a Jew was anathema, man. I mean, you didn't eat meat with blood in it. The Jews ate nothing with blood in it. And here is Jesus. Jesus says that they not only need to drink blood, but Jesus' blood. And then we look here at John 6, verse 66. John 6, verse 66. And it says this, after this, many of his disciples turned back and what, church? No longer walked with him. They were done with him. The bread man had failed them, right? So I say to you, beloved, don't be surprised when people walk away. Are you a crowd follower? Or are you a Jesus follower? Jesus repulses the natural man. So many of our churches are filled with natural men and natural women. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they're folly to him. He is not, listen to this, able. It doesn't say he won't. He is not able, cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned, but not the spiritual man, right? That's the natural man, but not the spiritual man. God must do a supernatural work in the heart of man for Jesus to ever be appealing. As you think about your salvation, as you think about all that God has done in your heart, when you said yes to Jesus, it was by God's grace. That's why over and over here again in John 6, Jesus points to the sovereignty of God in salvation. Look at verse 37. John 6, 37 says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I'll never cast out. John 6:44, again, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I'll raise him up on the last day. And finally, John 6:65, and Jesus said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father. Natural man thinks Jesus is gross. But when God awakens you, when God opens your eyes, Jesus will be sweet to you. You'll want Jesus. You'll want to feed on Jesus. Nobody's going to have to trick you. No one's going to have to appeal to your flesh. You'll run to Jesus. But the natural man finds Jesus disgusting. So don't be surprised when people walk away. While they walk away, what do? Are you going to turn and go with them? Are you going to walk away with them? Are you going to say, it's not worth it? I'm not going to be different. I don't want to stand out. I don't want to look like a fool here with this radical Jesus. That's not what you do. You keep walking right on ever the more. As they go that direction away from Jesus, you go ever the more faster with Jesus. It's interesting here to finish out here the John 6, verse 67 and 69, Jesus turns to the 12. Right, this group that was just decimated from 5,000 plus to 12, he turns to them after he sees them all walking away. Little by little, the 5,000 trickle out. He turns to the 12, and look what Jesus says. He says, do you want to go away as well? And guys, listen, this is a post-Christian context that you and I live in. We are slowly, increasingly becoming a culture here. It used to be the Bible Belt. Increasingly, that is not the case. Increasingly, secularism is becoming the norm and Christianity is becoming the minority. And so there's going to be a price to pay, right? We've talked about this all along. There's a price to pay for that. And at some point, life may get hard for you. Following Jesus in the cultural stew that you're swimming in may become hard for you. And Jesus is going to turn and look you in the eye and say, you see all those people walking away from me? Do you want to go away as well? Now, we see it in Hebrews 6, right? Hebrews 6, that apostasy passage there, where it says that they tasted of the heavenly fruit, and then they turned away. They nibbled at it, and then they turned away. They said, not good, eventually. But I want you to see what Simon Peter's answer is, and it should be Ben's answer. It should be your answer. Look here, verse 68, 69. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we've believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Beloved, when the crowd goes that way, never forget that Jesus is the real deal. He has all that you need. Take him in, hook, line, sinker, and never spit him out. Keep him. Cling to him as he clings to you. Completely take Jesus in and follow him until the day you die. By the power of the Spirit, you'll do that. By the grace of God, you'll do that. Here's my final conclusion here today, my final prayer, and this is for everyone. Whether you're a Christian or whether you're not yet a Christian, here's my prayer. May you eat Jesus and drink Jesus and be satisfied forever.
Hi there, this is Pastor Ben. I have something really important to ask you, but first, I want to say thank you for taking the time to make this digital connection with us through our podcast. I hope the message you just listened to was a blessing, but an even greater blessing than this digital connection would be for you to connect with us in person this coming Sunday at one of Eastwood's two campuses where we get the joy of living life together in Jesus' name. And now for that really important question, which is the most important question you'll ever answer. Where do you stand before God? Now, based on what you've done, the straightforward answer is that you stand guilty and condemned before God. You are a sinner who completely deserves God's wrath forevermore in hell. And I deserve the same thing also. I mean, every person does. Guys, that's terrible news. And even worse is the fact that there's nothing you can do in and of yourself to change that. You need a Savior. But I have good news. God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus to be your Savior. Jesus came and lived the perfect life that you cannot live, and he stood condemned on the cross, dying the death you deserve. And 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead to prove to everybody that he is indeed the Savior of the world. And now Jesus longs to change your standing before God by making a trade with you. He desires to take what you've earned, which is the wrath of God in hell, and to give you in return what he has earned, which is the blessing of God in heaven. When this trade happens, instead of standing guilty and condemned before God, you will stand forgiven and righteous with the promise of everlasting life. So what must you do to have your standing before God changed? First, admit to God you are a sinner. Second, hate your sins. Turn from them and ask God to forgive you. And finally, turn to Jesus in faith and love, putting your complete hope in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and follow him until the day you die. Wherever you are listening to this podcast, Jesus is ready to make this trade with you. And I pray that you would trust in Jesus and be saved. Thank you again for connecting with us, and I hope to see you soon at Eastwood Baptist Church.